Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. How's everybody today? Welcome, welcome, welcome again on this wonderful Mother's Day, right? Hey, just give you a thought, just a guess, no quiz at the end. What do y'all think the message might be about?
Mother's
Day. No. Why would we do something about mothers on Mother's Day, right? Hey, we're going to kind of tie it in because we just had Easter not too long ago, didn't we? So we still on Easter Sundays too. But it is about the women today. Amen. Thank you for all the mothers that are here. Thank you for all the mothers watching online. We love you from Fremont. We thank you for everything you've done for us. Amen. But your title today is this: A Godly Woman to a Shepherd's Heart. A Godly Woman to a Shepherd's Heart. That sounds pretty good, don't it? That sounds like it might be about mothers, right? So your first scripture, your main scripture, is going to come from the book of John, chapter 10, verse 22 through 30. John 10, 22 through 30, NIV version says it this way. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Amen. Ain't that great? Let's go ahead and pray real fast. Heavenly Father, as always, I ask you right now, get Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. May it be your Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your word spoken and not mine, Lord. Lord, may you open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to the blessing and the message that you have for us today, Lord. Lord, as we celebrate our mothers today on this Mother's Day, Lord. Lord, may we continue to celebrate, but only in your will, Lord. Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. I ask you to be with the rest of the service. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but I get kind of excited, especially on Mother's Day, right? That's going to be our main scripture, but the first scripture is going to come from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verse 36 through 43. Acts 9, 36 through 43, NIV says it this way. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. Told y'all we're going to talk about the women today, right? In Greek, her name was Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to them and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken to the upstairs room. All the widows. I told you we were going to talk about the women, right? All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with him. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand. He helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. I don't know about you, but that can't get me excited, don't it? Knowing that somebody can still be healed even after they've died. Amen. We've got that promise in the end, don't we, if we know Jesus. Amen. So good morning. Today is a day filled with gratitude, isn't it? Today's a day filled with reflection and honor. Again, it is what? Somebody shout it. Mother's Day. Put a comment out there. Mother's Day. Watch it online. It's Mother's Day. It's a time when we each pause to appreciate the women in our lives who have nurtured us, who have prayed for us, and who raised us up and loved us with deep, unwavering devotion. Just like our God does, right? Our scripture reading this morning brings us to the story of a woman named Tabitha, also known as Dorcas. Though we only see a few verses about her in the Bible, her life was so full of compassion and faith that her story itself echoes across the centuries. Today, let's reflect on three lessons that we can get from Tabitha's life and how her legacy speaks not only from the heart of motherhood, but to the power of women who walk with God. The first thing we see is this. We see a true life of quiet strength and visible love, don't we? What was she doing? She was always doing good. She was always helping the poor, wasn't she? She wasn't known for great speeches, was she? She wasn't an orator, per se. She didn't have high status. She didn't have dramatic acts, did she? She was just known for kindness, for gentleness, for generosity, and for service. Especially the widows. Those are the orphan who were overlooked in the society back then. Mothers, like Tabitha, often serve behind the scenes, quietly, consistently, and sacrificially. They mend clothes, they make meals, they hold the broken pieces of our families together. Their hands may be rough from work, right? But their hearts are still soft with compassion. We honor the mothers and the women today, those who loved us in a thousand invisible ways. Second thing we see is a legacy sown in love. Verse 39 said, "And all the widows stood around her, crying and showing her or him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made him." Tabitha's legacy was literally sown into the lives of the people that she had helped. Her love itself was not abstract, was it? It was truly tangible. You could hold it, right? You could see it. You could touch it. The robes, you could truly wear it, couldn't you? Mothers truly sow legacies to us. Not always with thread and needle, right? But with prayers, with encouragement, with correction, with forgiveness and faith. Their legacies were found in our lives that they've shaped us. The lessons that they've taught us and the hope that they passed down to us. To every mother and spiritual mother here today, your work matters to us. What you sow in faith today may clothe generations tomorrow. And the third thing we see from the story is a true resurrection story, isn't it? Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. She opened her eyes. Seeing Peter, she sat up. Whew, that sounds like God, don't it? That sounds like Jesus coming back from her grave. It was immediate, wasn't it? She did it. She did it. When Tabitha had died, the whole community felt an enormous loss, didn't it? But God wasn't finished, was he? Just like he's not finished with us. Through Peter, God raised her back to life. That story truly reminds us of the love and the legacy of a godly woman never truly die. God honors her lives of those who serve Him. And sometimes He even chooses to extend their time here on earth so that they can do a little bit more good, right? And for those mothers, who have gone on before us to the Lord. We take heart in knowing that their faith lives on through us. And the resurrection itself is our shared hope for us. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, as he praises her. That's what Proverbs 31:28 tells us. Today we rise, or may we rise, and bless the women that have shaped our faith. Whether they're biological mothers, grandmothers, mentors, or faithful friends. To every woman that's prayed for a child, nurtured a soul, or led with love, thank you. Like Tabitha, you are truly living proof that God uses compassion to change the world forever. For mothers, may you be encouraged that God sees your daily sacrifices. For those who grieve today, may you find comfort in the God who resurrects and redeems. And for the rest of us, let's honor the women in our lives. Not just today, but every day. Right? Because truly, the godly women that we have turned to shepherd's heart. The good shepherd, Christ, eternally secures his people, echoing God's conventional care, seen throughout Scripture, mirrored in the nurturing love of the faithful mothers. On this fourth Sunday of Easter, reminds us that Jesus himself is not merely risen, is he? But he is reigning far above us in the right hand of the Father. As a resurrected shepherd, he calls us, he gathers, he protects us, and he keeps us as his people. Today also being Mother's Day, it's fitting that the passage of John 10:22-30 speaks of tender, watchful, and faithful care for us. In godly mothers, we often see a reflection of God's shepherding love, listening, knowing, guiding, and defending for us. Let's walk through that scripture here real quick and trace how his identity as the Good Shepherd not only is central to John's Gospel, but it's also deeply rooted in the storyline of Scripture from Eden to eternity. We see the heart, or a heart, of an unbelief in the presence of truth. At the time of the Feast of Dedication, took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. If you were the Christ, tell us plainly. The Feast of Dedication, otherwise known as Hanukkah, is celebrated Israel's resurrection of the temple after the Maccabean revolt. It was a time to remember deliverance, light, and covenant faithfulness. And yet, here is Jesus in the middle of it. A true temple, the true temple himself, and truly the light of the world, was walking in the temple courts. And they still asking for proof. They still didn't believe, did they? They still, yeah, it ain't Jesus. He ain't the Messiah. He ain't the one that came back. Right? Crazy. Craziness. They still ask for proof. From the beginning of Genesis, God has revealed himself. But sin still blinds us human hearts. In Eden, Adam and Eve disbelieved God's word. And ever since, humanity has repeated that pattern time after time, generation after generation. The prophets reportedly called Israel to recognize God's work in their midst. But the people hardened their hearts. Jesus himself fulfills all of the old prophet testaments, or Old Testament promises of the Messiah, the Redeemer, the true King from David's line. Yet, unbelief persists. Faith is not about information, is it? It's about spiritual regeneration. The problem here is not what Jesus had said, but what their hearts refused to receive. We see truly the marks of the true shepherd, don't we? My shepherd, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus identifies us, his people, by their response to him. His sheep hear his name, hear his voice. His sheep are known by him. His sheep follow him. These aren't just casual descriptions, are they? But they are truly deeply theological as well. They hear his voice. This echoes Genesis chapter 1, where God's voice brings life to us. In Ezekiel 37, God's voice raises dry bones. The sheep hear because his voice gives them life. And he knows them. Not just intellectually, right? But covenantly. Like Exodus 2, 24 through 25, where God saw the people of Israel and God knew. This is intimate. This is truly committed knowledge between them, isn't it? And they follow him. This is truly a discipleship language rooted in Israel's journey with God and faith, and fulfilled in Jesus' call. Follow me. His sheep walk in obedience, covenant obedience with him. The metaphor of the shepherd and sheep runs from Genesis to Revelation. God was Israel's shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, God condemns the false prophets, or false shepherds, and promises, I myself will search for my sheep. I will rescue them. And then Jesus is saying, I am that shepherd that God told you about. He doesn't just gather his sheep, does he? He knows them personally. He knows us personally. And he leads us faithfully, don't he? Like a mother who also knows her child's cry. God's knowing is relational and redemptive for us. The same Spirit who hovered over creation now awakens at the ears of the sheep to respond to Christ himself. And we also see truly eternal security, don't we? I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Here we truly encounter a glorious doctrine, don't we? A perseverance of saints. The assurance that salvation itself is entirely by grace and eternally secure in our Jesus Christ. Jesus gives eternal life, don't he? Not, it's not earned, is it? It's not kept by works, is it? But it's gifted to us. The eternal life is gifted to each one of us. They shall never perish. A direct reversal of the curse in Eden. In Christ, his death has lost its sting. And because no one can snatch him from him. No one, both the man or the Son and the Father, hold him forever and ever. Jesus ends with a profound declaration, don't he? I and the Father are one. This is not merely a unity of purpose, but it is a claim to unity. Jesus is God himself. The shepherd is divine, and his care is unfailing for us. This is truly the fulfillment of the covenant promises, isn't it? Stretching back to Abraham. Genesis 17:7, God's promises, an everlasting covenant. Jeremiah 32:40, I will make with them an everlasting covenant that I will not turn away from doing good to them. In John 6:39, this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me. We have a triune God, don't we? We have a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with us. Has eternally purposed to redeem, to hold, to glorify his people. And that is truly an unbreakable security, isn't it? That echoes through the steadfast love of God, often reflected in a faithful mother's care for us. Never letting go, always watching, always loving us. The text today truly gives us a deep assurance on two fronts. Jesus knows his sheep and will never lose them. We're not kept by our strength, but by his hand. Amen. On this Mother's Day, we thank God for the mothers, the grandmothers, the spiritual mothers, and the mentors who modeled the shepherding love of Christ for us. Their prayers, their sacrifices, and love point us to a greater shepherd today, don't they? Whose hands were pierced for our salvation, and whose grip will never fail us. In him we are safe. Not because we hold on tightly, right? But because he will never let go of us. He will never let your hand go. Today we celebrate two powerful themes. Again, the fourth Sunday of Easter, often called the Good Shepherd Sunday, and Mother's Day. These seem like two separate observances, don't they? But they totally intersect beautifully in today's gospel in John 10. Jesus again proclaims that my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Just as the shepherd knows and protects his flock, a mother knows and nurtures her children. Let's reflect today on three truths from the passage for us. The first one is this: the voice of the shepherd and the voice of a mother. Sheep recognize the shepherd's voice and they follow him. It's not about commands, is it? It's about the relationship between them. Children also learn to recognize the voice of love, the voice of guidance, and the comfort in the mother's voice. Just as Jesus calls us gently but persistently, our mothers shape us in our understanding of trust and love. This reminds us to listen closely, don't it, for the voice of Jesus and the noise in the world, and to thank God for those, like our mothers, who taught us how to hear that voice. We also see the security of his hand and the security of the mother's embrace. No one will snatch him out of my hand, my Father, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. What a promise that is, guys. What a promise that is. Total spiritual security. In Christ Jesus, he holds us firmly. Not in control, right, but in care. A mother's love itself offers a mirror of that, don't it? Of that security. Often the first place that we feel truly safe and protected. While earthly protection may falter, God's grip on us never, ever, ever, I'll say again, God's grip never, ever weakens on us and for us. Whether we had a mother who reflected that love or longed for one who did, the verse points us to the unfailing hand of God who never lets us go. And the third thing it does is it shows us the unity between the shepherd and the Father and the family of God. Remember verse 30 said, I and the Father are one. Jesus truly reveals his identity to us as one with the Father, pointing to unity, purpose, and love within the Godhead. That unity is a model for our homes. Families strive or thrive, not through perfection, right? But through oneness of heart, rooted in love. Mothers often embody that unifying love, don't they? They keep our hearts together, even when we struggle. Today, we're reminded that every expression of love and nurture in our families is truly a reflection of God's unity and his care for us. On this Mother's Day, let's remember the voice that leads us is gentle, knowing, and trustworthy. The hands that hold us are strong, eternal, and unfailing. And the unity that we see in God, the Father and the Son, is the unity that we're called to live out in our homes and in our hearts. As we give thanks for our mothers today, again, biological, adoptive, spiritual, or otherwise, may we also celebrate the Good Shepherd who never let us go, will never let us go. And as they come for the final song, let's pray. Gracious Lord, our Good Shepherd, thank you for calling us by name and holding us in your strong, tender hearts. Today we thank you for the gift of our mothers, our mother figures in our lives, who reflect your love in selfless and powerful ways. Help us to hear your voice, trust your care, and live in unity. In Jesus' name, we want to thank you. Thank you for all that are the good shepherds. The fulfillment of God's promises. You call us by name. You know us deeply. You secure us eternally. We're thankful. And thank you for the godly mothers and the women in our lives who reflect your patient, nourishing, and courageous love. Strengthen them today. Remind us that we are held by your hand. We may hear your voice. And when we hear your voice, we will follow you all of your days. The name of the risen shepherd, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for the mothers like Tabitha, the women of strength and the grace in their lives. Bless them, strengthen them, and let their legacy bring you glory. If you're here or at home and you don't have that relationship with them, today's a perfect day on Mother's Day to accept that love that will never leave us. Just like our mother's love. Unconditional love from Jesus. All it takes is just asking Him to come in your heart today. Knowing and believing that He truly did die on that cross for us. And He rose 3 days later for the grace and the salvation that we have in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray.